Award-winning trumpeter, educator, and bandleader Chris Johnson has enjoyed a musical journey that has taken him around the world, sharing stages with numerous jazz icons. His compositions have found their way to such esteemed groups as the Count Basie Orchestra, as well as grace the world of film. He'll be leading his own ensemble, the Chris Johnson Group, as part of the latest installment of the Paradise Jazz Series at the DSO this Friday, as he'll feature world-renowned musicians who have roots in the Motor City. I caught up with him as we chatted about his musical influences, how music saved his life, and why he's so committed to the education and mentorship of emerging artists. But first, we talked about the talent that he's lined up for the Paradise Jazz Series.
Absolutely, man. We have a absolutely dynamite big band put together with some of my favorite musicians. Anybody that attended the April 2022 concert, it's a very similar big band to that group. Got Caleb Curtis on alto sax, Kasan Belgrave, Marcus Elliott, Raphael Leofar, Kaylee Wilder in this trombone section, Corey Wallace, William Wang, Kenneth Gill, as well as Christian Foreman. Trumpets are Omar Latif, Anthony Stanko, Alan Denard, Solomon Parham, and a fantastic rhythm section. Brendan Davis, young man's burning on keys. Brandon Rose on bass. Sasha Kasperko on guitar. The one and only Nate Wynn on drums, and Lauren Johnson on percussion. It's a big band filled with Detroit musicians and musicians that are from this area that have gone on to different areas. It's going to be hard swinging, really, really impactful music, very soulful music, covering a lot of different styles. And we have some of the best soloists. We have some of the best ensemble players. We have some of the best groove players, some of the best swing musicians. It's just going to be like phenomenal. On top of that, you get to see a world premiere of a brand new piece that I'm really proud of called Stop Apologizing for Being Human. That piece is going to feature Milton Suggs on vocal. It's also going to feature the narrative visual artist Chanel Harrison, who's going to be creating some art live on stage that's an embodiment of what this piece represents, which is a really personal journey. And I think right now the world is in a place where it's in need of healing. It's in need of expression. And I think people are starting to get tired of masking and getting tired of putting on their mask every day in order to appear to be a certain way. And I think it's time to get back to being authentic. And I think there's a hunger for that. In my own personal journey, there's a hunger for that. So this piece is really about people taking control of their lives and being more in touch with their authentic selves, and to really challenge what serves them and what doesn't serve them and what they want to move on into their future with. So join us for that expression. And I think what you'll find is that you'll definitely be touched. It'll be thought provoking and you'll walk away with a sense of wanting to be in touch and having a better understanding of yourself.
Johnson's experience in playing with big bands go back to his formative years in music, when various jazz influences took a focused interest in his development.
You know, actually, my first experiences playing in a big band were under the direction of Marcus Belgrave. So we're talking back in 2000, when I was a senior in high school. I was in the Detroit Symphony Civic Jazz Orchestra during its first year. Marcus Belgrave as director. You know, it was an amazing time. Really, he was introducing us to the music of Count Basie and Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn, and telling us stories about being out on the road with Ray Charles. And that just had a profound impact. The depth in which he knew the music, you know, the level of study that he had taken on. And as he was talking to us about the music, one thing was always key. Marcus always knew the history of the music, and he could play every single part. Every single part. So he'd get in front of us. I remember we were playing Corner Pocket. He was talking to the saxophones about the melody, and he would just take his trumpet out and play the saxophone melody. It didn't matter what chart we were playing, Marcus could play everything. And he was always very hands-on in his direction. And in terms of phrasing and how to put a band together, that had a very profound impact on me. So when I went on to study at Michigan State, you know, under the direction of Roddy Whitaker and Wycliffe Gordon at the time, later on Derek Gardner, and so many others, you know, big band was such an essential part of my upbringing. And I just fell in love with hearing all the sounds and just hearing all the horns around me and hearing the interaction of everything, playing the music of Duke Ellington, like, you know, like the Nutcracker Suite or Tone Parallel to Harlem. All that music just had like a really, really deep impact. And what I found was is that it's just like this perfect vehicle for composition. for somebody in the jazz world. There's just so many timbres that are available. And I was really fortunate to right out of grad school to join the Count Basie Orchestra. And you want to talk about just diving in to so many sounds, diving into so much history. And I was pretty ambitious right from the beginning. I knew I wanted to write from that group, but man, just started getting my feet wet writing for big band, for the Basie Orchestra, you know, over the years. And I've always dreamt of having my own group. And so this is really a dream come true. And to have it happen on orchestra on stage is really special.
Johnson's knack for cinematically styled compositions and arrangements have also made him one of the go-to arrangers for film scores.
I'm gonna blame Terrence Blanchard for this one. So anybody that has had, you know, more than two conversations with me knows I'm a huge Terrence Blanchard fan. But I remember I was in high school and this movie Primal Fear came out, and Edward Norton was just brilliant in that, right? And I just started kind of getting serious about jazz, serious about playing trumpet. And I remember it got to Terrence didn't score that, but he was a guest soloist on that, on the film score. It gets the final, like, end scene, and there's just this passionate trumpet just playing. And I'm like, what is happening? Turns out that was, I went and did some research. I don't know. I didn't Google it because, you know, that was a long time ago, but I figured it out somehow, found out it was him. Then I started watching it, but I got really hooked on Spike Lee films. Heard him playing trumpet in Mo Better Blues, which was scored by Bill Lee, and then started watching all the other films and realized, like, oh man, here's this like trumpet player who's absolutely brilliant. Started checking all his albums. His album Jazz and Film changed my life, and really started to understand kind of this connection between film and jazz, and kind of the marriage of that. I knew it was something I wanted to do, so after grad school, I started pursuing, you know, going after different directors and just trying to get, you know, some placements and things, and met a couple of great directors, and over the years built some relationships, and there was a popular web series called the Poonani Diaries that I scored. That was my first project. Did a student film called The Saxophone Player, and just over the years, you know, more and more projects. With Issa Rae Presents, there was actually a great director and writer, Dewey Gerard, who actually found me on Instagram and just said, you know, hey, I've got this project that I'd be interested in having a jazz score to. I want you to check it out. So him and his team actually flew out to Utah when I was teaching there. At the time, I was director of jazz studies at University of Utah. They flew out. Now, what I didn't know is originally they wanted to fly out to Utah, watch the series together, and kind of check it out. In my mind, I said, well, I'm going to score it. So, like, I scored that entire web series in a weekend. We started late Friday night and just went all throughout the weekend and just scored the entire web series. I'm really proud of that one. And that project was actually nominated for an Emmy for Best Web Series. So, yeah, it's really, I love scoring for film. I think for me, music and storytelling go hand in hand. And as you can see from this piece that we have coming up, there's always a deeper message in any music that I write, and there's always something that I want to convey. And part of that too has to do with the fact that I think music just hits you in such a deep place in your soul. And when I'm writing for film, one of the things that I find is that the film can really inspire the music, but then the music can really inspire the film in the way that uplifts it, and it's a really beautiful marriage.
Throughout the years, Johnson has enjoyed releasing studio albums under his Chris Johnson Group moniker. One album, The Unpaved Road, would feature a collaboration with vocalist Lulu Falls. It would develop into a fruitful musical collaboration and blossom into an even more fruitful live partnership.
Funny story about that. So Lulu and I had been dating for a while, and we actually out loud said, we are not going to be that couple. We are not going to be that couple that works together. Nope, we're not going to do it. She had her band at the time. Her band had put out an album, an EP called Heal, and it was a LFJT, Lulu Fall and James Theory. And said, okay, great. You've got your band. I've got my band. We're not going to work together because we don't want to be that couple that just works together. And then there was a song that I'd done for a film score, actually. It was a short film. I'm sorry, it was a feature film that this guy, Steve Allison, had put together. It was a film called Disaster Piece. But anyway, there was one cue in there, and I just like shared with her like a folder of MP3s. It's like, oh yeah, check out this thing that I scored. And she's like, this one song, do you mind if I write to this? And I believe that it was called, can't remember the name of the original cue, but it ended up becoming the song Tonight. That's on that Unpaved Road. And so she wrote to Tonight, and I was like, dang it, we're about to become that couple, aren't we? And so we're like, oh, no, we're not gonna be, it's just that one song, it's just one song, it's just one song. So we just said, okay, whatever. And then the concept came up for the song Fighting Love. She sent me a voice memo and said, hey, I've got this song Fighting Love. She kind of sung the hook to me, you know, the voice memo. I took the voice memo, sampled it in Logic, and wrote a whole track to it. And then we ended up performing those two live with the band. And the band was like, hey, she's in. But it was really important to me. Like, I'm not trying to be that guy that just brings his girlfriend on. But no, really, like, as soon as we started writing together, we knew we had a special partnership. Beyond just our relationship, just really kindred spirits musically as well. And so we ended up writing, as you can see from the album, a bunch of collaborative pieces that I really believe in and that I really stand by. And we're really proud of that project. Yeah, Unpaved Road was really special and a really raw project for us. Great collaborative work. And of course, Lulu and I have gone on to collaborate on several of her projects, including Between Two Worlds. And then I produced her her latest EP as well. Special person.
Johnson and Falls would eventually become husband and wife, announcing their engagement on WDET's The Progressive Underground.
Yeah, I believe we announced our engagement. We might have announced that on your show for sure. Yep. Yeah.
Music has proven to be more than a craft for Johnson. He feels that it's been a saving grace, all of which has motivated him to pass down his music knowledge in much the same way that it was initially passed down to him.
Not to be overly dramatic, but I'm one of those people where I can truly say, you know, music saved my life. I didn't have much of a place. I didn't have much of a social circle or an outlet when I was growing up. I was always just kind of trying to find my way and had a hard time finding what I was good at. But when I was in high school, Damian Crutcher, who I mentioned previously, great mentor of mine, and he was my high school band director, he just saw something in me. He saw something in me and he called me out and he really challenged me, I think, in a really beautiful way. But from that moment, as soon as I started to kind of feel what music could do and what it could provide in my life, I was very interested in education because I wanted to be able to reach those students who maybe struggled or who didn't have as easy of a start. Because I really struggled musically. Like, I had to really fight for it. I was tone deaf at one point. I couldn't feel rhythm very well, but I fought through a lot of things. But because of that, I was eager to share. And I found two things. One, I was able to help a lot of people because I understood what it was like to not be naturally good at something, because I was not naturally good at music, unlike some of my peers. And two, I also found that I would strengthen musically if I immediately taught someone something that I had just learned. So I kind of stepped into a mentor role pretty much immediately when I was in high school, ended up becoming a assistant drum major, and then ended up becoming drum major for our marching band. I was always teaching like a theory class or something like that. There was always something that I was taking on, and Damian was amazing at giving me opportunities to lead as well because he saw that in me. I was teaching private lessons even when I was in high school. So for me, I always knew there was going to be a combination of that. And then leadership became really important to me as well. I think part of it is that the way in which I was advocated for, or in some cases, the way in which I wish that I had been advocated for, I felt the responsibility to be able to share that and to be able to play that role in my community. So again, you know, not too long after grad school, in addition to touring with the Count Basie Orchestra, I took on an administrative position with Pontiac School District, where I was working with an arts and education model dissemination grant, working with, you know, arts in the schools and studies and research. But in addition to that, I was always in a teaching role through Detroit Symphony Orchestra, at one point working with the Carr Center, later on at Ohio State University, and then I went on to become Director of Jazz Studies at the University of Utah. So I always knew that, you know, academia and education were important. And what I found was that 9 times out of 10, what the students needed even more than musical training was they needed mentorship. They needed somebody in their life that could say, hey, I've done these things. I've done these things and I can show you how to do your version of this. I can demystify this whole music industry and show you ways in which you can get more in touch with using your resources and using your tools in order to develop. and at the same time kind of help guide you. So over the years, even now, there are students that I have from back when I was in college that I'm still in touch with, that I'm still giving advice to, that I'm still kind of, that are still kind of watching my moves and that I'm working with. I also learn from these students as well, because they're all doing like amazing things right now. So for me, it's really about advocating as much as it is too about just kind of continuing something that doesn't belong to us. The idea though is that this is all just like a part of our heritage. This is all just a part of, you know, of what we pass down, and the way that Harold McKinney and Wendell Harrison and Ken Cox and Marcus Belgrave and countless others pass it down to me.
To keep up with Chris Johnson's releases, events, and happenings, visit chrisjohnsonmusic.com. This has been your edition of Mic Check. For the Progressive Underground, I'm Chris Campbell. We'll see you next time.